an American gallery. And here is Bing Crosby.
You know, 60 years ago in New Orleans, they called him Little Louie. Then one day somebody looked at that grin. It was as wide as the Mississippi. And they hung on the handle, Dipper Mouth. Let's see, in 1929, where was I? Oh, I was with the Rhythm Boys, one of those kids. Along about that time, someone took a closer look at the gentleman in question, and they decided that the label Satchel Mouth was a bit more descriptive. Well, in no time at all, that became Satchmo, and the legend was on its way. Yeah, Louis Armstrong was a jazz giant even then. As a matter of fact, he was cutting records when I had a full head of hair, and Hope was hustling dimes in a Cleveland pool hall. Satchmo's now in the, he's in his fifth decade of recording. Now, how do you rack up that kind of success? Well, there's only one answer available. You have the soul and the sound of Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong, jazz trumpeter, saluted this week on An American Gallery. Bing Crosby tells the story in this special tribute to a great American, Satchmo.
Louis? You want to talk about Louis? Well, I hope you're not in a rush, because there's an awful lot to say. Now, you take his birthday, for instance. Well, I mean, for a man who's become kind of an American ambassador, blowing his horn and spreading happiness all over the world, getting born on the 4th of July is almost too much, isn't it? But that's the date, and the year was 1900, and the place was New Orleans. Now, you got to remember something else was born in New Orleans. Jazz. And Louis was with it right from the start. And for him, the start was... Well, you're not going to believe this, but it's true. He started in playing the tambourine in the band at the Colored Waifs Home for Kids. Imagine him banging on that tambourine. Kids who did things like shooting off firecrackers on New Year's Eve. Well, so much for Louis' criminal background. But one day the bugler in that band was sent home. Louis stepped in and took his place. He switched over to the cornet, well, a couple months later. The way Louis tells it, that band got to play at socials, picnics, funerals, and parades. After about 18 months in the home, Louis was discharged. 14 years old he was, picking up jobs as a musician. And that's how it began. This sound. A sound that is known today in just about every country on earth. You just listen a minute and you'll see why. That first job at age 14. Incidentally, you know how much he made that night? 15 cents. Of course, that was before withholding taxes. And when Louis wasn't playing, he was a listening. He was listening to the great Joe Oliver. Joe was his idol on the cornet, and he was a star of Kid Ory's jazz band.
I see you over there, boy. Come here. You wet right down to your skin.
I don't take no notice, Mr. Oliver, sir.
You know who I am, then.
Ain't nobody in New Orleans don't know Joe Oliver. That's like saying they never heard of Kid Ory.
Your tongue is as sweet as the sound you make on your horn.
You heard me play my horn, Mr. Oliver?
More than once. Parading down the street. Yeah, I heard you. What's your name, boy?
Louis, sir. Louis Armstrong.
How old are you?
Almost 16.
You know it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
I don't get no other chance to hear you play, Mr. Oliver.
Which way are you heading?
Whatever way you're heading, sir. I mean, I don't get no chance to talk to a cat like you just any old day.
Now, let's go, then. Heard you sing once, too. You're no Caruso, nothing like that, Louis, but the way you feel what you sing, that's what counts.
I don't know nothing about singing. I just sing like I play.
Louis, ain't nobody ever done that before. When you play, you feel it, boy. I can tell. Same thing happens when you sing.
I've been trying to get as good at playing as you are, Mr. Oliver. I know I got a long way to go.
You play the lead, son. Remember that. Play the lead. Melody. That's what counts.
They became friends. Real close they were. And within a week, Louis was Joe Oliver's, I guess you'd call him his protege. Oliver would work with Louis every chance he had, and by the time Louis was 17, he had his own band. He was playing every night in a tough dive called Matrangas. Jazz was on the move now. It was really jumping, moving up to Chicago. In 1918, Joe Oliver decided to make the scene up north, and he accepted one of the jobs offered him. And I guess that was a big day for both Joe Oliver and Louis Armstrong.
Louis, you come a long way since that rainy night we walked home together.
I couldn't have done it without you, Papa Joe.
You're wrong, son. I just happened to be around. What you got inside, Louis? No man's got the key to that. And he don't need it, because the good Lord didn't lock it up. You just pour your heart out when you sing or play, and that's what it takes.
New Orleans ain't going to be the same without you, Papa Joe.
I think it'll get along, Louis.
Maybe it will. But what about Kid Ory? Losing you is going to be a mighty big blow to him. I just can't see how he's going to get off without you.
He won't have no trouble with you sitting in my spot.
Me? Me with all those cats?
And I mean sitting in permanent-like.
Me? Taking Joe Oliver's place with Kid Ory? Oh, that's crazy talk, Papa Joe.
Ory didn't think so. It's all set.
Papa Joe, I can't fill your shoes.
Maybe not, but you can blow my horn. Here. A little going-away present from me to you. Well, go on, son. Take it.
That's your coronet.
Not no more, it ain't. It's yours. I'm picking up a new one in Chicago. But will you close that big mouth of yours and take it?
Papa Joe, why are you doing this for me?
You're a good kid, Louis. I ain't never had none of my own. You hear what the man said? Now keep that lip loose and wash behind the ears, boy. You got a steady job now. You blow your heart out, Louis.
Papa Joe, I can't take your place. Nobody can.
The pupil telling the teacher? Son, you as good right now as I ever will be. You hear me?
Yes. Bye, Papa Joe. Thank you.
Remember now, you blow your heart out, boy. Blow your heart out.
And play the lead, the melody. That's what counts.
And it's home, Louis. Don't forget that.
Kid Ory's band was the most popular in New Orleans. I guess nobody will dispute that, nobody. But there was a world outside New Orleans, a world that Joe Oliver had discovered, and one that Louis yearned to see for himself. He got his chance when Fate Marable, a red-headed bandleader on the riverboat Sydney, offered Louis a job on his Mississippi excursion boat. But Marable's musicians were all paper men. These cats could read music.
Now, that one's an F. And that solid black one, you play faster than the one with the hole in it. My, my, all these little lines and curlicues and dots. All right, now, this thingamajig means I sharp the note. And this one means I flat it. And this means the end of a bar. always thought bars was for leaning on and swelling joy juice.
Lewis, how's it coming?
Mr. Marble, I only got through the fifth grade in school. I learned my reading, writing, arithmetic, and I also learned that Rome wasn't built no one day. And I'll make you a little bet that while Rome was burning up and old Nero was fiddling away, he wasn't doing it from no groggy gooks on a piece of paper. Mr. Marble, I feel like I'm building the Colosseum all by myself. And all I got is one dull chisel.
Lewis, you make a good case for yourself.
But I said I'd learn, and I will.
Well, it's just that we've got these arrangements, Lewis. We want you sitting in full time.
Yes, sir. I want that, too.
I'm not denying that when we start jamming after the last set and you get in your licks, that the crowd doesn't scream for more of that horn of yours.
They've been mighty nice to me.
Nice? Lewis in Memphis, St. Louis, Davenport, everywhere we stop. People are asking if this is the riverboat with that great horn and the voice that sounds like the mating call of a piece of sandpaper.
Oh, go on now. Is that what they say?
Come on. We'll work on making you a paper man in the morning. The boys are waiting. They want to jam a little.
Boy, Redhead, you sure speak my language.
Now all you have to do is learn to read mine.
Hey, look, it's Lloyd. Hey, where's Lewis now?
Come on, Lloyd. Give us some of that horn. Come on, will you?
Well, let's see a diplomat.
You heard them, Louis. Let's ride a while with some gut buckets.
Crowd screamed for more. He stayed on that steamer until 1922. One day a telegram arrived for him.
Will you join me at Lincoln Gardens in Chicago? Salary $30 a week, signed Joe Oliver. Will I join you, Papa Joe? Will I ever?
Louis told me once that this was like being in a dream. Only it was real. A whole new phase of his life began in Chicago, and for that matter, it was a whole new chapter in the history of jazz. Together, Oliver and Louis would ride out until the audiences went wild. For 2 years, they rocked Chicago. In 1924, Louis joined the great Fletcher Henderson Band, and if you remember your jazz history, you know that that was the best big band of the era. It was Henderson who suggested that Louis switch from cornet to the trumpet, and with that move, Louis conquered the East. But now something else was happening in the world of jazz. Oh, sure, Louis was known the length and breadth of the Mississippi, and he packed them in New York and Chicago, but millions of other jazz fans had yet to hear Louis play. Well, that little dilemma was solved one day on a train ride from New York back to Chicago.
Mr. Armstrong?
That's right, friend. Sit down. Here, I'll clear up this mess of manuscripts. I'm working at learning how to read music. But sometimes I get to thinking it's like teaching Mr. Coolidge how to be president. After he's been in the White House for 3 years.
My name's Rockwell, Mr. Armstrong. Tommy Rockwell. I work for Columbia Records.
Now, ain't that a coincidence? I play your records. Cause some of them got awful long hair, but you got some good screwball sounds in them grooves.
But we haven't got the best.
No, you said it, not me.
Well, how'd you like to record for us?
Me? Oh, I make a lot of noise, Mr. Rockwell. You think your wife can handle it?
I think it's worth a try.
Ain't that something? Me making records. I never thought about it.
Well, you know, Mr. Armstrong, this is 1925. Playing theaters and ballrooms, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you cut a record, all people have to do to hear Louis Armstrong is wind up their Victrola. There's radio, too. Some of the stations play records. In one day, you could be heard in every city and town in the country.
I don't know, Mr. Rockwell. The country's in mighty good shape. You think it's worth the risk?
Mr. Armstrong, your name's already up in lights. I want it on a round label. I was thinking of a small group. We'd call it Louis Armstrong and his Hot Five.
Mr. Rockwell, if the good old USA can survive a world war and the Charleston, I guess they can take Louis Armstrong and his Hot Five.
That was a little meeting that made history. That little colloquy. Louis was the biggest draw in Chicago that year. His name was up in lights. Big sign, Louis Armstrong, world's greatest trumpet player. And Tommy Rockwell got his recording session with Louis. No bright lights on that label, but it was seen for thousands of miles. I wasn't there at that first one, but I can imagine how it went with Louis Armstrong and his Hot Five.
Okay, Louis, we're ready in here.
Are we doing skidot-didot again?
No, that was great. Let's cut that scat singing number, heebie-jeebie. And remember, don't move once you're set in front of that mic.
I won't even blink.
Okay, let's go for a take.
A take? If I knew you needed one, I would have brought a take along.
That's just an expression, Louis. It means let's try recording.
Ooh.
Here we go. When I point to you.
Nobody remembers, not even Louie, just who hung on the handle of Satchmo, which was short for Satchel Mouth. But it happened sometime in 1929. It stuck all these years. Those early records of his had great sales overseas, terrific. And Louie made his first European tour in 1932. It was such a smash that he had to do it again in 33. All right. That word smash gets overworked a bit in show business. And maybe you might think that I could be padding the facts a bit. Well, think on this for a spell, will you? On the second tour, 10,000 people met him at the station in Copenhagen, Denmark. How about that? And on later tours, he was greeted by the Prince of Wales, the King of the Belgians, and the King of Italy. At that time, of course, opera was the big draw in Europe. But Louis played to bigger houses than anything that Bizet, Rossini, or Wagner ever wrote. Why, in Finland, he even broke the box office records held by that country's own Sibelius. And once when he played for the King of England at the London Palladium, he announced a number like this.
This one's for you, Rex.
Years later, he played for Princess Margaret. And Louis had some words for her, too.
We got one of our special fans in the house. And we really gonna lay this one on the princess.
They started calling him things like America's secret weapon, a blue note in a minor key. Our most effective ambassador in 1956, our own State Department realized they had something special, something real important in Ambassador Satch. So they sponsored a special tour that began in England and finally saw Louis approaching Ghana on Africa's Gold Coast.
Mr. Armstrong?
Oh, yes, student?
I didn't wake you, did I?
Oh, no, pretty lady. I was dreaming, maybe, but I wasn't sleeping.
You wanted me to tell you when you could see Africa. Well, it's just come into view.
What? My. So that's it.
We'll be touching down in just a few minutes. I think you can make out the airport from here.
Yeah, I see it. You know, miss, I got me some blood ties down there. Oh, I won't know them and they won't know me. But my ancestors all come from here, and I figure I still got family here. Hey, would you look at that now?
The crowd at the airport?
You think maybe something's wrong?
They just radioed the pilot. There are about 10,000 people waiting to welcome you there, about 20 native bands, and at the Gold Coast University, there are 70 tribal chiefs and their drummers. They're going to give you a recital. A talking drum recital.
Now, ain't that just too much? A drum recital, huh? Oh, with them cats on the skins, I'm gonna be hearing the real stuff.
And the Africans heard the real stuff, too.
Jazz played by a giant of jazz. They heard the man who did more to influence jazz than any other. They heard American jazz. What's more American than baseball, hot dogs, and jazz? On his tours and with his records, Louis brought the jazz beat to every corner of the globe. That magic horn of his blew out from Hong Kong to Moscow, from Oslo to Rome. You might even say that Louis' talent is our most beloved export. I think you have to say that. And everywhere Louis goes, the reaction is something like this.
Hey, listen to you, Jack. You did, huh? Thank you, folks. Thank
Senor Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong, please.
Yes, sir, Ken. You want to jam a little, too?
I am of the cabinet. The police, Mr. Armstrong. There are 25,000 people out there. Very excited. Molto agitato. You think something lentamente. Slow. Maybe they become calm, see?
Okay, Daddy. I'll give them a little slow beat. All right? Hey, fellas, how about some of that all of me music?
These big tours continued, and Louis kept on making friends for himself in America to this very day. Back home, in 1964, something happened that never happened before. Louis Armstrong had started his fifth decade of making records, and something no one musician anywhere, anytime, anyplace had ever accomplished. And after 40 years of hits, Louis surpassed even himself. By midsummer, his new record passed the million sales mark. His horn, his grin, his handkerchief, his vocal styling all made the scene, and they gave Satchmo his biggest hit ever. Half a century after Little Louie left the colored waifs home in New Orleans, he recorded this tune. ¶¶
It's so nice to have you back where you belong. You lookin' swell, darling. I can't tell, darling. You still growing, you still growing, you still going strong. I feel the room sway, but the band is playing one of our old favorite songs from way back when. So take a rap, fellas, find an empty lap, fellas.
Pops is a millionaire several times over. And it takes a lot of fans to do that. But in my book, we Americans are a lot richer because of him.
I've been listening to another portrait in an American gallery. Today, Satchmo, the story of a great jazz trumpeter, Louis Armstrong. Bing Crosby starred as the narrator, with D'Urville Martin as the youngster and Sam Laws as the adult Louis Armstrong. Featured in the cast were Roy Glenn Sr., Adolph Caesar, Ben Cooper, and Janet McLachlan. Satchmo was written by Robert M. Young, based on an article in Life magazine. The program was produced and directed by William Lally. Sound by Gene Twombly. Art Ballinger speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.